our Bibles together for our Bible study this morning. Well, hello. Nice to see you, sir. Yes, the service still starts at 10:30. Oh, Jesus. Matthew chapter 28. And we'll read verses 16 through 20 together. And we'll have our prayer and pray for Betty and pray for Luke. Good to see Luke here today. Luke, did you tell me you're having another treatment this week?
Tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. This is the great commission given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ as recorded by Matthew. And he tells us this in Matthew 28, verse 16. He says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning for this time of prayer, we are grateful, first of all, for the word of the Lord that reveals to us your master plan of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. We're also grateful today and thankful for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, and who opens the eyes of our understanding that we might know this great truth of this awesome mystery, that we might come to know you as our loving Father. And Lord, as we study the scriptures this morning, we know and believe that you're going to open our hearts to be fed the manna of heaven, the word of the living God, that will encourage and build us up spiritually. Father, before we look at the word today, we want to come before you on behalf of our friends and loved ones at Victory Christian Fellowship. We want to thank you, Lord, for the good news, for the good news that Diana Eunuch has heard about her cancer and the postponement of treatment until March because of her strength. We praise you for that. And Lord, we would dare to ask that between now and then that you would heal Diana's body in Jesus' name. We pray for a miracle of healing, Lord, and ask for your grace to touch her and make her well. We pray for Luke with us today, Lord. We thank you so much for the experience that he is having in his treatments. We thank you, Father, for being with him and for the strength that he is experiencing. And we pray that you would continue to work healing and strength into his body. Lord, I believe you're going to make Luke Metz completely well. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, for our sister Betty today, we thank you, Lord, that you've given her another day in this world. Father, you've chose to spare her life one more time. And we praise you for that. We ask you, Lord, to use this season of drawing all of the Galliers and their friends and family closer together and closer to you during this season in Betty's life. Lord, we just trust her into your hands. We know, Father, by the profession of her own lips, that when her time comes, she's ready to come to you. And Lord, we just praise you that because of your faithfulness, because of the Lord Jesus, she will, in fact, come into eternity and walk with you forever. And I pray for the family, Lord, that when that day comes, their hearts will be ready, they will be fully assured, and they will be completely comforted by your Holy Spirit when Betty walks the beauty of glory arm in arm with the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, Father, we pray you continue to give her strength and health and wholeness, and we thank you for each day that you give her breath in this world. Father, we pray for others in our church family today that you would be with them, watch over them. Some are traveling in the holidays. We pray, Father, that you would be with them as they travel from place to place. We ask you, Lord, to bring them back to us safely. I want to pray, Lord, for those in need of jobs again today. God, we know that you have an open door. You have a place and you have a way. And Lord, we just trust you in Jesus' name to provide and to meet all of their needs. Thank you again, Father, for this gathering this morning. Thank you for these dear and precious people that you brought to our church today. God, we love them so much, but not nearly as much as you love them, Father. And so we ask you to teach us today. encourage us all in our spiritual journey. Draw us close to your heart. Fill us with your spirit. Have your way in us as your children. I pray it in Jesus' name for the glory of your kingdom. Amen and amen. Matthew accounts for us in Matthew chapter 28, that great commission, that call of the Lord. That call that we shared with you last week is a call that every one of us shares, the call to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all been given that awesome responsibility of telling the world the good news of Jesus Christ. As I shared with you last week, sometimes we've made Christianity almost a spectator event where, you know, we come to the church and we hear the preacher, or we sit at home and we watch the televangelist. And then, you know, when the preacher's done, we go home, we go back to our lives. When the televangelist is done, we turn the station, we go back to our lives. And we don't go back to Christianity until we come back to church the next day to hear the preacher again. I want to remind you what he says here in verse 19. Notice that he says, go therefore and make disciples. Listen, church, the message, the Great Commission is not come and listen. The Great Commission is go and tell. Okay? We need to come and listen. We need to come and listen and encourage one another and share the word and love of the Lord together. But then we need to go and tell. Christianity is not a part-time thing. Christianity is not what you do, it's who you are. Okay? Dave over here, Dave's a guy. And you know, tomorrow he'll still be a guy. And he'll do guy stuff. Dumb guy stuff. He'll do it tomorrow and Tuesday and Saturday and next week. I will too. Mary Ann, she's a woman. She'll do lady things. She'll host a ladies' tea. She'll do ladies' things tomorrow and Tuesday. Why? Because she's a lady. You know, every day she'll do ladies' things. Every day. Dave will do guy things. Listen, every day we're Christians. Not just on Sunday morning, every day. Every day we ought to be doing Christian things. We ought to be doing Jesus stuff, you know. We ought to be honoring the Lord, living for Him every day of our life. And God has called us to do that, all of us, not just a select few, but all of us. And He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we've seen where the Holy Spirit has been given for two purposes. He's been given to us to be in us, the Spirit of life. When we become one spirit with the Lord, we receive Christ, we make our confession of faith. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. We become one spirit in the Lord with God Himself. And the life of God comes to be in us by the Spirit of the Lord. But that's not all He gave us the Holy Spirit for. The Holy Spirit has come to bring life and to do that in us, but He's also come to anoint us to share life with other people. So there's that twofold anointing and blessing of the Spirit of the Lord. He comes to bring life, but then He comes to anoint us to share life. We receive life and we give life. It's a twofold thing. And the Bible illustrates that in several places in the Bible in two distinct ways where believers are receiving the Holy Spirit and getting saved, and then they're being anointed and they're going out in ministry. And in the church today, we've got all this conflict about, well, are there two blessings, or is there one blessing, or is it, do you get it twice, or do you get it once? And I think we're missing the whole point. I think the whole point, the whole reason that it's illustrated for us this way, here they're receiving life, here they're sharing life. I think the point is just very simply to make it absolutely clear to us that it's not enough just to receive life. We're supposed to be giving life as well. We have life by the Spirit, but now we have the anointing to share life in the Spirit. And that's what we've been called to do by the Lord. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that it was the Holy Spirit working in Jesus to do the Father's will. Luke chapter 4, John chapter 14, Acts chapter 10 all tell us it was the Holy Spirit working in Jesus to perform the Father's good pleasure. And that same Spirit has been given to every one of us so that we can do the works of the Lord and share the life of the Lord as well. Again, last week we talked about how the calling is for every one of us. Acts chapter 2, Peter read the prophecy of Joel, where God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. male and female, young and old. He doesn't leave anybody out. He wants every believer to have the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing on their life, not just life in them, but life overflowing from them so they share life with other people. He expects every one of us to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, sharing the life of God. He pictures it this way in the Bible. Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, he says. A royal priesthood. Priests have a ministry in the Old Testament. They minister before God in worship. They minister to the people the word of the Lord. They're called to be priests of God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Jesus says, I have made you a kingdom of priests. Everyone in the kingdom is a priest. That means every one of us has a ministry to share the love of Jesus Christ with other people. The message is not come here. The message is go and tell. And if we're followers of Jesus, that's what following Jesus means. It's what Jesus did. So if we're following Jesus, we're doing the same things. And so we've encouraged you over the last few weeks to seek the Holy Spirit, to pursue the Holy Spirit and His anointing on your life. Jesus said, ask. Just ask. The Father is a good Father, and if you ask Him to give you the Holy Spirit, He'll give you the Holy Spirit and anoint your life to be used in service to Him. And if we'll do that, surrender, obey the promptings of the Spirit of the Lord, we'll be amazed by the kinds of things the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. I want to remind you just of a couple more things before we press on to something new this morning. I want to remind you what we said first of all about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not weird. He's not bizarre. He's not flaky. He's not going to make you act like you're half demon possessed. Okay? That's not the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God here. Okay? But now listen. Neither has the Holy Spirit gone into semi-retirement. A lot of Christians will tell you, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't do that anymore today. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Well, the Holy Spirit, well, we get old, he get tired. He's on, I guess it's not Social Security, is it? Heavenly Security or something? Holy Spirit clocked out 1,900 years ago is what they try to tell us. He gives life. But then you just hang on by the grit of your teeth until Jesus comes back and hope for the best. No, the Holy Spirit didn't go into retirement, brother and sister. He's the same Holy Spirit that Jesus experienced, that Peter experienced, that Paul experienced. It's the same Holy Spirit that comes to you and me today as believers. And the Holy Spirit, listen, turn back over in to the Gospel of John with me. Look at John chapter 15. The Holy Spirit, guys, is all about Jesus. Okay? The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. Jesus is speaking here. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he calls him the helper. Your Bible may say comforter, advocate. It's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. See, the Holy Spirit's all about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is all about glorifying and exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit who testifies of me. Guess what? That Holy Spirit's going to testify through you about me and demonstrate my glory through you to the world. Look at the 16th chapter, down verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me. For he will take of mine all the attributes of Jesus, the nature of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, the person of Jesus, the work of Jesus, the salvation of Jesus. All of these things of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, he will disclose these things to you. He says in verse 14, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit, guys, is all about Jesus. This is how you know whether somebody is really flowing in the Holy Spirit or not. Who's being glorified in what's being demonstrated? Is it Jesus or is it somebody else? Is it a preacher? Is it a televangelist? Is it a healing minister? Who is it? Who's being glorified by what's being done? The Holy Spirit doesn't move in your life or in my life to make you or me impressive. The Holy Spirit moves in our lives to make Jesus impressive and to make Jesus' name known. Not to make our name known. That's why we shouldn't get proud when the Holy Spirit uses us, whether He gives us a word, whether He ministers a healing, whether He answers a prayer. Whatever the Holy Spirit does, we should never get proud because the Holy Spirit used us. Never. We should always remember in the Bible, the Holy Spirit once used a donkey. Okay? So here's the thing. If the Holy Spirit uses you, that makes you equal to a jackass. I say that just for shock value, just to get you to understand. Listen, we should not be proud when the Holy Spirit does something in us. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about glorifying Him. And don't forget, Jesus said, you can be replaced by a rock. Okay? So, always remember that. Don't be proud when the Holy Spirit uses you. God can replace you with a rock. The Holy Spirit's all about glorifying Jesus. He can use any of us, wants to use all of us. But listen, we have to know. We have to have confidence in our relationship with God. We have to have confidence in who we are as a believer. We have to see ourselves as a child of God with the authority of the Lord operating through our lives. And then we have to have confidence in the Holy Spirit who's in us. We have to have faith in the Holy Spirit. And we have to learn to listen to the promptings of His voice. When you and I are walking in the Spirit of the Lord, now look, as a general rule, the Christian life really won't be all that flashy. Okay? It won't be all of that out of the ordinary, necessarily. And let me share what I mean by that. When you and I are being used by the Holy Spirit, a lot of what He does in our lives will look pretty natural as He's leading us and we're following His voice. For example, the Holy Spirit will lead us to live a life of righteousness before God. The Holy Spirit will lead us to live a life of honesty and integrity. The Holy Spirit will lead us to live a life of responsibility. When we're following the Lord, this is the kind of thing He'll do. He'll lead us to live a life of love and kindness, to do random acts of kindness and charitable giving. He'll lead us to have a giving heart and a giving spirit. He'll lead us to be thoughtful of other people and not just ourselves. Day to day, living the Christian life, for the most part, it may come to seem to be pretty much routine for us. Hopefully it does. Because we develop the character of the Lord. And we walk in the love and the righteousness of Jesus all the time. But there are times when the Holy Spirit can use us in ways beyond the natural. Okay? And this maybe sometimes is where we struggle a little bit. Because again, we think, well, we can't do these things. It's not us, it's the Holy Spirit. And it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And God can use any of us, if our hearts are open, if we are truly surrendered, God can use any of us in a multitude of ways in our lives, even in ways that are supernatural. And this brings me back to the passage of Scripture that we read several weeks ago, and I want to go back to it this morning, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll read this passage of Scripture for you this morning that deals with what are called the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to read the first verse and then verses 4 through 11. And I want you to understand that what we're talking about here, we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit can express through any of us if we're sensitive to His voice and obedient to what he's telling us to do. Verse 1, Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." I do not want you to be unaware. King James Bible says, "I do not want you to be ignorant. I do not want you to be lacking knowledge about these things." You know, we live so much of our lives in the world, disconnected from God. Sometimes we forget that God is some other place than just in church on Sunday morning. And we don't walk with the Lord often, maybe the way that we should. And we don't realize that God is always with us and always ready to use us in a moment's notice, and can use us in a multitude of ways. The Bible goes on to tell us that in verse 4. It says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." It's all about God, you see. God does these things. The Holy Spirit does these things, not us. It's the Holy Spirit in us, just as it was in Jesus. Just as he worked through the Lord, he will work through us. Verses 8 through 11, he describes a list of what we call, referred to as spiritual gifts. At verse 7, he says, "To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good," or for the blessing of all, so that all can be blessed by the presence of the Lord and the power of God. Verse 8, "For to one is given a word of wisdom through the same Spirit." First gift, word of wisdom. "To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit." Gift 2, the word of knowledge. "To another, faith by the same Spirit." Gift 3, faith. Now, this is not saving faith. We'll talk about that in a minute. The next one, gift 4, "To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit." The next one, "To another, the effecting of miracles." "To another, prophecy." "To another, the distinguishing of spirits." "To another, various kinds of tongues." "To another, the interpretation of tongues." But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually, watch this, just as he wills. He, the Holy Spirit, the giver of the gift. Okay? So the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts to believers to be given to those who are in need. Let me just say some general things, first of all, about the gifts of the Spirit before I share some specific examples of each one of them. First of all, it says there that these things originate with God. Not us, but God the Holy Spirit. Okay? These things have their origin in the Spirit of the Lord who dwells within us. That leads us to the second point. We don't decide when these gifts are going to be manifest. We can't decide. They don't originate with us. It's the Holy Spirit who decides who will exercise the gift, where they will exercise, who the gift is for, all of these things, when they'll be exercised. It's the Holy Spirit who determines this, because as we just read in verse 11, he gives these things as he wills. And let me just stop right there and just give you an explanation of what I'm talking about here. A lot of times, and I'll speak specifically about the gifts of healings, okay? A lot of people say, well, you know, God doesn't do that anymore. And of course, there's nothing in the scripture that ever says that, nothing anywhere. We see many examples in the Bible. I showed you examples last Sunday, I believe it was, of not only the apostles, but deacons and just ordinary believers who exercised the gift of healing. God spoke to a believer in Damascus. His name was Ananias. He says, "I have a gift I need delivered. Would you be my delivery boy?" He said, "Where do you want the gift to go?" He said, "I want it to go to Paul." And Ananias said, "No, I won't. I've heard about Paul. He kills men like me. I ain't going there." And God says, "He's my man. I've got a plan for his life. I want you to take this gift to him and tell him what I've got in store for him." Ananias, an ordinary Christian, went to Paul, laid hands on him, healed him of his blindness, baptized him in water. God baptized him in the Holy Spirit, and the rest, as they say, is history. Okay? But Ananias, a believer, brought a gift of healing, a gift from the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, Paul, and healed him. Okay, just an ordinary Christian. And the point again is to say that these gifts can be manifest by anyone as the Spirit wills. But those who would say, well, you know, God doesn't heal anymore today, and then other people say, yes, there are people who operate in the gifts of healing. And then they always make this statement. Well, if they have the gift of healing, why don't they go to the hospital and heal everybody in the hospital? And all that does, church, is illustrate complete ignorance of how spiritual gifts work. Nobody, unless God says, Jimmy, go to the hospital and empty it. Unless God says that, nobody can do that. Because it's the Spirit who determines when and where and how the gifts operate, not us. This is why Paul, read about Paul in the book of Acts. Look at the miracles the Apostle Paul did, the healings that he did. But did you know that in one place the Bible tells us Paul had to leave one of his friends behind sick? Why couldn't Paul heal him? Paul couldn't turn the gift on and off like anybody, like he wanted to. So it wasn't his to turn on and off as he pleased. It's the Holy Spirit who does it. So, we don't decide when the gifts operate. God does. The Holy Spirit can express any gift through any believer. Look at verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 11. The Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit decides what gift he's going to give to who for what purpose. All of it is God. Children, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit. These gifts are, listen, here's a biggie. Spiritual gifts are not an expression, please hear this, spiritual gifts are not an expression of the spirituality of the deliverer. In other words, just because God may operate a spiritual gift in my life doesn't mean I'm a spiritual person. The very book that we're reading, that we're getting this information from, 1 Corinthians, it was written to the church because the believers there were abusing spiritual gifts, tongues in particular. Nevertheless, listen, they were a carnal people, they were a natural people, they were an immature people, and yet the first chapter tells us they came behind in no gift. They were lacking none of the gifts. In other words, even though they were carnal and immature, they were still sensitive at times to the Holy Spirit and still seeing spiritual gifts in operation. So the point is, just because God manifests the spiritual gift through you doesn't necessarily mean you're a spiritual person. Okay? You can be as carnal as a day is long. God can still use a donkey. Okay? He can still use a rock. Spiritual gifts are given for specific needs. Specific gifts are given at specific times to meet specific needs. And then the last thing I want to share with you from the 14th chapter, you're close. Go on and flip over to the 14th chapter. And look at verse 1. Paul writes and he says, pursue love. That's the primary thing. The love of God, walking in love, sharing love, experiencing God's love. Yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. He says, desire them. Desire them. Don't shun them. Don't run from them. Don't turn away from them. Don't deny them. Desire to be used by God this way. Desire the Holy Spirit to use you in these ways, in these manifestations of the spiritual gifts. So let's look at these things. And what I want to look at again, go back over to the 12th chapter. In verses 8 through 10, we've got this list of spiritual gifts. There are 9 gifts that are listed here in this passage of Scripture. For today, I want to do this. I want to lay aside the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Okay? Because there's a lot of confusion about what this is all about. And I want to just lay that aside and deal with that completely separately. Probably next Sunday we'll deal with that. What does it mean to speak in tongues? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? And how does this gift operate? What is the purpose of it and all of these kinds of things? We'll deal with that next Sunday morning. But today, let's look at the other seven of these gifts that are given for us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And just kind of get a little feeling, a little flavor of what God can do through us, okay? Of how God can speak to us by the Holy Spirit. How he can operate beyond the natural in our lives by the Holy Spirit, if we're open and sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. See the types of things the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. Look at verse 8 with me. He says, for one, the first one he says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. The word of wisdom. And I think the phrase itself is telling. He says, the word of wisdom. In other words, it's just a nugget of wisdom. Just a word of wisdom. It's not all wise, you know, all wisdom. It's just a nugget of wisdom. A specific nugget to meet a specific need at a specific time. Not general wisdom, but just a nugget of wisdom. A word of instruction from the Lord. Not based on knowledge that we have naturally. Not based on information that we would know naturally. But something revealed to us simply by the voice of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit might tell you this. The Holy Spirit might give you a word of instruction to tell you to go someplace and do something. Go here and do this, or go there and do that, or don't go over there and do that, or don't go over here and do this. Don't get involved in that situation. I think the Lord has spoken to me often, as often through this gift as any other gift, just because of my own ignorance as a leader and as a pastor, and having to trust the Lord to lead me as I try to lead you and do the things of the ministry. And because I get invitations all the time from people that want to come and speak at the church, or want to come and do something at the church, or this or that, the other kind of thing. And often, I just get in my heart, they'll say, some preacher will call. One of the good things about the internet is you find out all kinds of stuff. And one of the bad things about the internet is people find out all kinds of stuff about you, like your phone number and all that kind of stuff. And so you get calls sometimes and like to come and speak. Well, you know, first of all, never heard of you. Don't know anything about you. You know, all this kind of stuff. But I often will get just a feeling on the inside. Don't have anything to do with that. Just stay away from it. Don't have anything to do with that. Don't have anything to do with that person. Don't have anything to do with that ministry. And you know what? The thing is this. I don't know why I feel that way. I just know I feel that way. And it's the Lord's warning by His Spirit. It's the Lord's wisdom to stay out of. Often, I have been associated with things. I've heard about things. And turned down opportunities and invitations. Only to find out later the heresies or the mistakes or the problems and things that the ministries were involved in. And thankfully, by the Spirit of the Lord, we didn't invite that into the church so it could be spread among our congregation here. By a simple word of wisdom based on nothing more than the Spirit inside, God would protect us from what was going on around us. The instructions of Jesus to Peter, for example. When it was tax time, and there was a temple tax, and Peter talked it over with Jesus, and Jesus said, Peter, here's how we're going to pay our taxes. You're going fishing. And the first fish you catch, he wants you to take the coin out of his mouth and go pay our taxes. Now, how many of you understand? That's just not natural. You just don't think natural that way. I guarantee you, most of you guys that fish never think to look inside the mouth of the fish, see if there's any money in there. But that's what Jesus told Peter to do. And it was a word of wisdom, a word of instruction to Peter. Beyond natural knowledge, a word of wisdom and instruction. Peter went fishing, caught the fish, took the money, paid his taxes, and they were free. It's a word of instruction, a word of direction from the Lord. Years ago, we pastored Believers Fellowship. When we started that church, we were meeting in a little house on Timberlake Road. We were looking for some land, and we found a tract of land on Leesville Road. It's advertised as 6 acres of land. And we raised all the money we could raise, you know, and we didn't have hardly. We had $30,000. It wasn't nearly what the guy was asking. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and the Lord said, offer what you have for the land. And it was way below the asking price. But I went to a realtor friend of mine, and I said, you know, this is the situation, this is the land, this is the money, we want to offer it. Did you know he turned me down? He was too embarrassed by the small offer that we were going to make to that man. He said, that man will never accept that offer. I am not wasting my time going to that man with that offer. I'm just not going to do it. Okay, I'll find somebody else. I called another realtor. I said, we want to offer this much money. And now I'm embarrassed. You know, the land price is up here and all we got's down here. And I'm telling this guy, we want to offer these few pennies for all this land. And the guy says, yeah, I'll make the offer for you. Can't promise you, but I'll make the offer. He makes the offer. The guy accepted the offer. He took it. Found out that the man was in financial distress, needed the money to get out of debt. God knew it. I didn't know it, but God knew it. Had us offer the money. The man got his money, got out of debt. We got the land, rock bottom price. When we surveyed the land, it wasn't 6 acres. It was 8 acres of land over there. See? It's the word of wisdom. Direction, instruction by the Spirit of the Lord, based on nothing in the natural, but just what God was saying. Next one. The next gift is the word of knowledge. A word of knowledge. Again, the phrase is telling in itself. A word of knowledge. Just a nugget of knowledge. It's not the know-it-all spirit. That's something different. This is just a word of knowledge. Give you a quick example real quick. In John chapter 4, I believe it is, Jesus meets with a woman at a well in Samaria. And they begin to discuss worship and the Messiah and all of these kinds of things. And Jesus turns to this woman. Now, by the conversation, it's abundantly clear Jesus has never met this woman in his life. He says to the woman, go get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said this, you have rightly said you have no husband because you have had 5 husbands and your man you're living with now, you're not even married to. How did Jesus know that? He never met this woman before in his life. It's a word of knowledge revealed by the Holy Spirit about something in that person's life he had no other way of knowing. Years ago, Becky and I counseled with a young lady who came to our house for counseling. She was suffering from severe depression. She began to share her life story, and it was depressing. She'd been through a lot of stuff, a lot of rejection, a lot of pain in her life, a lot of things going on in her life. She started sharing about a previous marriage and the failure and all that kind of stuff. And she started talking about this other person that she had met, this other guy. She started talking about this other guy. And in my head, the word abortion popped into my head. What is that? What does that mean, abortion? And she goes on talking about this other guy. And she's talking about how she started meeting with this other guy. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. And I asked her, I said, this other guy you started meeting with, you had an affair with him, didn't you? She said, yes, I did. I said, you got pregnant, didn't you? She said, yes, I did. I said, you had an abortion, didn't you? She said, yes, I did. And in an instant, by the gift of the word of knowledge, God, as they say, cut to the chase and got to the heart of the woman's issues so that we could minister love and forgiveness and grace and healing to her and to pray with her and those kind of things. Word of knowledge. A word of information that you can't get from another source, but is given to you by the Holy Spirit, a specific word to meet a specific need at a specific time. The word of knowledge. The next one is faith. The third gift list is faith. Now again, this is not saving faith. This is faith to believe when the odds are against you, when the circumstances deny victory everywhere. I think of 3 examples real quick. I'll give you where I believe we've experienced the gift of faith by the Holy Spirit. First I'll just put them in chronological order. First was when I was electrocuted over 35 years ago. And I've shared my story often prior to being electrocuted. I'm working a job. I'm not making enough money. There's more month than there is money. Every month we're getting further in debt. I'm worried about what's going to happen. I'm working a job. My wife is 5 months pregnant. We've got a 2-year-old son in the house. And there's not enough money coming in to meet the need. And then when I'm stressed out over all of that, I get electrocuted. Lose my arm. Now I am unemployed and unemployable. And God gave the gift of faith to be able to believe and trust that somehow he was going to work everything out, when in the natural there was absolutely no way of seeing how anything could ever be worked out. God to believe and trust in him. Old Julie Whitaker was born. The day that she was born, she was immediately diagnosed with complications that they could not deal with in Lynchburg. She had to immediately be taken to UVA Hospital in Charlottesville, Virginia. And when we were called about Julie and her birth and all that they were going through, just getting the call and going to the hospital and praying with them, God gave the gift of faith to believe that in spite of what the circumstances looked like, everything was going to be all right with Julie. And I didn't forget how long she stayed at UVA Hospital. But today she is a beautiful and bright and funny and well-adjusted young woman, and has no ill effects from the complications of birth. And God just gave us faith for that. 6 or 7 years ago, my son was diagnosed with cancer. And he called me on the phone to tell me that he'd been to the doctor, he'd been having some problems, he'd been through some certain things, and he called me to tell me that the doctor said that, you know, it could be this or it could be that. And then he said, "Oh, Dad, it could be lymphoma. It could be cancer." And we prayed about it and we met together. And God just gave us the gift of faith to believe all the way through all of the treatments. Now listen, he didn't give the gift of healing. See, listen, hear this. God could have instantly, supernaturally healed Ben of cancer. Why he didn't, I have no clue. I don't know. Maybe we'll ask him one day. I don't know. But you know what he did do? He gave us faith to believe that when it was all said and done, Ben was going to be fine. And now Ben's been clear from cancer. He was healed through the medicines and the treatments. And for 5 or 6 years now, he's got a clean bill of health. God gave us faith, that gift of faith. When outwardly, I'll tell you, it wasn't long after Ben was healed that a preacher in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was diagnosed with lymphoma. My initial response was, "Oh, that's just lymphoma." After having walked it with Ben, I thought, "Well, that's just lymphoma. He'll be healed. He'll survive that." It wasn't long after that he died. And I think that's probably when it really dawned on me, Ben could have died. But God gave us the gift of faith to walk through his ordeal and never doubt that he was going to be well and he was going to be fine. Let me look at the last couple real quick. I'm almost done here. The last couple are pretty easy for us to see, I think. The gifts of healings, we've already talked about that a little bit, pretty obvious, lots of healings In the ministry of Jesus, in the ministry of the apostles, the disciples, the believers, all Christians of all flavors are being used by God to perform these works, because it's not about them and it's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit in them doing his works. God choosing sovereignly. Again, I don't know why God would choose not to instantly heal Ben or heal somebody else or heal. God chooses these things, guys. We don't. We cooperate with God, and when God says, "I've got a gift to give," we go give it. Beyond that, we don't decide. We're just a delivery person, okay? It's not about us. It's about God. It's about the Holy Spirit. And it's about the need that he wants to meet. The effecting of miracles is the fifth one. This is, again, I think pretty easy for us to understand. Divine intervention in the natural order, things like turning water into wine, raising the dead, feeding the 5,000 with a few loaves and fish. You know, these types of things beyond the natural. God is able to do these things. If he's not, listen, If God is not able to do miracles anymore today, how can we be saved? The new birth, brother and sister, is the greatest of all miracles. And if God's not doing miracles anymore, we're in a heap of trouble. We're in a heap of trouble. But thank God he still does miracles. And he still saves. Praise God. And he can do it through you and me. Prophecy is the next one. And again, from the 14th chapter, and I'll just read real quickly. Prophecy is a little different than what we might think. Typically, when we hear the word prophecy today, we think about predicting the future. Okay? And that is certainly a part of prophecy. But the biblical definition of prophecy is much broader than that. If you'll just look at the 14th chapter with me in the third verse. He says in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, the one who prophesies speaks to men for three things, for edification, exhortation, and consolation, or comfort. In other words, a prophetic word is a word inspired by the Spirit of the Lord for you to share with somebody else that will build them up, encourage them, or comfort their life. Now, that may be predicting something about the future, or it may be speaking into their life concerning something about what's going on right now. The point is that it is a word inspired by the Holy Spirit for you to speak to their life. Depending on the circumstances, it can be something just as simple as Jesus loves you. You know, given the circumstances that a person is in, if that person is so down on themselves, down on their luck, down on life, down on everything else, they think nobody could ever possibly love them. And the Holy Spirit tells you, tell them Jesus loves them. Just that simple phrase, Jesus loves you. Everybody else has rejected you. Everybody else has forsaken you. Everybody else has turned their back on you. Jesus loves you. He will never forsake you. That can be a prophetic word. If the Holy Spirit inspires you in that moment to share that word, that can be a prophetic word. The seventh one, we'll wrap it up here today. Distinguishing or discerning of spirits. And let me just share with you what I believe. And there's probably a lot of different definitions and understandings about what this actually means. But let me just share with you what I perceive this to mean. I believe where it says distinguishing of spirits, I believe that it means actually being able to see into the spiritual realm in a sense so that you know what's motivating somebody to do a certain thing, okay? And let me explain why that's necessary. You know, a person can be doing something outwardly that looks good, but they can be doing it for the wrong reason. I'll give you some examples. Let me give you just a couple of Bible examples. Acts chapter 4, there's a man named Barnabas. The church is meeting together. They're blessing one another. They're taking care of one another. Barnabas piece of land. He sells the land, takes all of the money, gives it to the apostles, every bit of it, and they distribute it among the people who have need. Okay? You can imagine the people looked at Barnabas and thought, that's a pretty good guy. Pretty good guy. Another Christian comes along. He's got a tract of land too. His name is Ananias. He's got a wife named Sapphira. They sell a tract of land. They bring money to the apostles. But they don't bring all the money. But now watch. Nobody said they had to bring all the money, but they're leaving the impression that they are. Barnabas brought all of his money. Everybody congratulated him. Ananias and Sapphira, they're bringing a gift. They're making it look like they've done just like Barnabas and they're giving everything. But they're not giving everything. Now they didn't have to, but what they're doing is lying about what they're giving. Outwardly, it still looks like a pretty generous gift. They've sold their land. They're giving the money. But you know what Peter said? Peter said, Ananias, that land that you sold, it was yours, right?
Yeah.
The money that you got, it was yours. Do what you want to. Wasn't it? Yeah. You didn't have to do anything with that money other than what you wanted to, right? Yeah. Peter says, then Ananias, why are you lying about what you've done with that money? See, by the Spirit of the Lord, he saw into the man's heart and saw the spirit that was behind what he was doing. a spirit of pride and a spirit of deceit. Anybody else just looking at the circumstances outwardly would have thought, hey, pretty generous dude. Peter looked at him and saw a proud liar and pronounced judgment on him, and the man died instantly. Gifts of the Spirit. Gift of the Spirit. There was a girl following the Apostle Paul one day, and he's in Philippi, and he's preaching Jesus. And this little girl is following him around and shouting out everywhere she goes, these men are preaching the Most High God. These men are preaching the Most High God. And when you read it in the Bible, it looks like she's saying that what's wrong with what she's doing? That looks cool. She's encouraging them. You know what Paul did? Paul turned around and looked at the girl and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, devil, come out of her. He saw something completely different in the girl. Turns out she was a fortune teller, demon possessed. And Paul cast the devil out of her. He discerned a different spirit than what it looked like in the natural. Another place Paul is preaching. And the Bible says that as Paul is preaching, he sees, watch this, there's a lame man, and he sees that this man has faith to be made whole. How do you see faith in somebody just sitting there? There's only one way, brothers and sisters, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave him the distinguishing of spirits, and he saw that the man had the spirit of faith. And he turned and declared to the man to get up and walk. And the man got up and was healed. The discerning of spirits. Listen, guys, all I'm saying to you today, we'll just give you just some examples, biblical examples. These are ways that the Holy Spirit can work in all of our lives beyond the natural ways that He works day by day, encouraging us to live righteously, responsibly, in integrity, and in love, and in kindness, and in giving, and in witnessing, and all of these natural things day by day. God can go beyond. Listen, you and I have the awesome responsibility of taking the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. The world needs to hear about Jesus. God wants to tell them. He's going to use us to do it. It's just, I don't know why He chose us. Looks like He could have chose something better. But He chose us. And now by the Holy Spirit, He wants to use us to take the good news. And if necessary, even demonstrate supernatural power. And here's the reason for all this. The reason for the manifestation of all of these spiritual gifts is to glorify Jesus and to prove that He is alive and well and living in us by the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit prove the resurrection. Dead people aren't doing miracles. But Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. He's well. He is living in us. And if we're sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, He can work through us, even in supernatural ways, to confirm His own resurrection and win souls into the kingdom of God. We'll talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues together next Sunday morning. Let's pray together. Father, we've seen in the Word this morning the variety of ways that You can manifest Your power through us as Your children to encourage others to come to know You or to bless Your body, fellow Christians, that we might draw closer to You and be more faithful in our service of You. Lord, Your Word tells us to desire spiritual gifts. I pray that You would put a hunger and thirst in our heart, Father, to be used by the Spirit of the Lord in ways both natural and supernatural, that our lives might bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remind us, Father, remind us that beyond the walls of this building and in the day-to-day living of our lives, you want to work through each and every one of us to glorify your Son Jesus and to declare his praise to a world that needs desperately to know him. I pray, Father, that we would get a sense of desperation in our own hearts and in our own lives of the need of the lost to know Jesus. Help us, Father. Help us to put the needs of others ahead of the needs of ourselves. Help us to surrender that we might be used by you for the glory of our Lord and the salvation of the lost. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Now you know why every Sunday at this time we typically just stand for a few moments quietly in the presence of the Lord to see if there's anything else the Holy Spirit might want to say. He might have a word of encouragement to share with somebody through you, to share with somebody else this morning. A prophetic word, if you will. A word of wisdom, of direction, to share with somebody else. To bless them in Jesus' name. A spiritual gift, word of knowledge, whatever it might be. It might be a praise, it might be a prayer request. And so we wait just to see if you might sense the Holy Spirit might be speaking to your heart something that he wants you to share with the body, to bless the body. Lord, I want to pray again that you would put in all of our hearts a remembrance of what we heard today and a belief that you can do these things in us if we'll be sensitive to you and open to what you might want to say or do through our lives. And Lord, we understand this is probably not going to be an everyday, week, or even month occurrence. Because for the most part, what you're going to do in our life is just going to be pretty natural to us as we walk with you day by day. But Lord, help us to also anticipate and even expect the supernatural for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that rests upon all of us as children of God here today. And I pray we would learn to walk by the Spirit, live under that anointing, and allow you to do whatsoever you will in our lives as your children. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, in your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today and a great Thanksgiving on Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.